Today, I'll tell you how I came to start a Disney World website 2 years ago. That's coming up on this episode 38 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we normally talk Disney World strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert, the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com. Welcome to this episode. And as I said in the intro, we normally talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips, but today is a little bit different. Today is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to those of you who are mothers or want to be mothers. I will be spending it with my family today to celebrate as well. But today is also a special day because 2 years ago in 2012, my husband said to me, "What do you want to do for Mother's Day?" And I said, "I would like to launch a Disney World website." That is a strange thing to ask to do on Mother's Day. My husband didn't flinch, though, because he's used to hearing weird requests from me when it comes to holidays. I frequently ask for things like DNA kits, because I really want to do one of those at-home kits where you can swab your cheek and find out where you're from and things like that. I often ask for weird gadgets or, you know, weird experiences. Like, I really like to go watch fighter jets at air shows, and so we do that. So this was not any weirder than anything else I'd ever said. However, this had been about an eight-year goal of mine. That was about 10 years ago, it became a goal of mine to create a Disney World website. And so a couple years ago, you know, that was 8 years in the making. And so he wasn't super surprised. And so I just kind of want to talk about that today, since this is Mother's Day. And if you are here just for strategy and ideas for your trip, come back next week, where I will be right back at it. And actually, the next episode will be recorded from Disney World, because I'm going back. And so I will be recording from my hotel room at Port Orleans French Quarter. And so you can come back next week for that. But for those of you who might want to hear the backstory, stick around today and I will tell you. Before I dive into some of the details of that, just as always, a reminder that iTunes reviews are super, super valuable. Thank you so much. I read them all. And you can follow me online on twitter.com/WDWPrepSchool and pinterest.com/WDWPrepSchool and facebook.com/WDWPrepSchool. And of course, the website, where I always have about 1 to 2 posts per week, in addition to a new podcast episode that is published every Sunday. So if you could do all that, that would be fantastic. And especially when I am on trips, I tend to like to post more, because it's kind of fun to follow along and see what we're doing, where we're eating, what rides we're on, etc. So be sure to follow along for that. So as I said, I'm going to tell you the story of how I came to start the website. About 10 years ago or so, I joined a website called tourguidemike.com, and I was a member there until a couple weeks ago, I think. That's when the website finally shut down. But it was the best source for information on the internet for Disney World planning, and I really feel like it was like going to the University of Disney World, which is sort of funny given the name of my site, WDW Prep School. But it really was. It was a great education. Mike was a VIP tour guide for people that could afford his services in a one-on-one way. But he decided to start this website to provide information for those of us who were planning our own trips. And it was a subscription-based website. And it was just the best information ever. Unfortunately, after, I don't know when it was, but after, like, say, 2007, 2008, something like that, the website stopped being updated as much. And so there were things happening at Disney World that weren't being reflected on the site. And so for those of us who kind of knew how to plan our trips, and people were asking us, how do we plan our Disney World trips, we could often say, well, just go sign up for tourguidemike.com and that'll tell you everything you need to know. But with the website not being kept up to date, it made it less possible to do that, because you can't very well tell your friends and family to go sign up for a website that's not current and actually has some inaccurate information. So for a long time, I decided I had it on my list. I want to start a Disney World website. I work for full time. I had two young children. You know, there were a lot of things going on. So starting a website, I knew it was going to be a lot of work. I was a web developer for corporations such as Pier One's headquarters is located where I live. I was a web developer for them, and I worked for an ad agency as a project manager, and I was a blog designer for freelance things, you know, all this stuff. So I had a lot of sort of skills that lent themselves to starting a website. And so I knew that it was going to be a lot of work. And I was sort of intimidated to get started, not only because of the amount of work, but because I thought, oh, there's already so many websites that exist. And how could I ever dive in? It's a busy, busy niche. And it still is. It is a busy niche. But I finally decided to go for it, obviously, about 2 years ago. And that's because my daughter's graduating high school. And I thought, okay, now's a good time. I don't have little kids anymore that need me so much. We live very modestly, so my income isn't something we depend on. And the basic needs are covered, like our food and our house and stuff. So this is the time to do it. But up until then, it had been kind of a journey. So what I did first, because I was so intimidated to jump into the Disney World niche, was I started a website. This is my third website, by the way. So I'm going to tell you about the previous ones. My first website was a website that I created in 2007 or 8, something like that. And it was a website for clever ideas. And so obviously, if you know how to plan Disney World trips, there's a lot of clever ideas associated with that. So that was one topic I talked about on this website. There were other posts that I talked about as well, like slashing your grocery bill in half, or how to buy makeup that is really, really good, but from the drugstore. You know, there's just lots of different kind of random ideas like this. But, you know, obviously the whole time, the Disney World information was the stuff I was the most passionate about. I just didn't want to talk about that one topic because I just thought there's no way I can do it. There's too many other websites talking about that. So I had this website with all these clever tips. It took a lot of time. I did take it seriously for the time that I had it, but I sort of had a hard time finding an audience. And the difficulty is that when you're talking about groceries one day and Disney World trips the next day and travel, like, it was kind of all over the board. So there was not a real easy way to find an audience. But during the time that I had this website, I had a strange, funny thing happen on Twitter. And that was that Justin Timberlake kept tweeting me or tweeting about me. I'm a really big fan of his, and I had tweeted about him, and he saw the tweet, and he kept tweeting to me or about me. And so it was, I'll post a link. There was actually a news article written about it by the local newspaper when it happened. And it was really funny, and I was freaking out as a big fan. But one weird side effect was that people would go to my Twitter bio where I had the URL for my site listed, and they would click on it, go to my website, and the whole website crashed. And so I sort of got a taste of what it's like to have an influx of traffic. And when I created the WDW Prep School site, I definitely made sure from the very beginning that crashing was not going to be so easy to do. I don't think Justin Timberlake's going to tweet about it, but, you know, it's something that I was prepared for traffic from the very beginning. But my very first website, I had some trouble getting some traction with an audience, and I ended up quitting that site and closing it down after probably just a few months. I want to say maybe 4 to 5 months, something like that, because I was just having a hard time finding an audience. But in that time, Justin Timberlake managed to crash it. So a couple of years go by, and I am trying to figure out what I'm going to do because I still have a goal of starting a Disney World site, but still intimidated by it. I decided to start a second website, and I hired a life coach. So the second website was travel related, and of course, Disney World was my favorite topic. I love to travel to other places just as much as Disney World, but it's just that other places aren't as fun to plan, or they don't require as much work. So most people are not out there Googling for information on how to plan a trip to Montana as much as they would Disney World, even if they're both lovely places to visit. So my second site was travel related, and from this site, I was hired as a freelance travel writer for a company who had a team of bloggers that they wanted to produce content. And so I really got in the habit of writing topics, writing on a regular basis for a larger audience and, you know, turning in these kind of long articles. And I, of course, talked about Disney World a lot, talked about family travel, that kind of stuff, because that's what I know. But the travel side itself, you know, this whole time I'm obsessing about Disney World being a busy niche to kind of get started in. Travel is an even busier niche. It's too broad, and there's a lot of sites about it. And if you're not specialized, then it's hard to get attention nowadays because the internet is just too busy. And so about the same time, I hired a life coach, and we met on the phone a few different sessions for about an hour each time. And so the whole point of this was I would tell him, I really want to start a Disney World site, but I'm too intimidated. And, you know, some of the stuff I've already told you in this podcast. And he was totally perplexed because he kind of knew me. He kind of knew that I was capable of it. And he thought, and he said, what's stopping you? And I said, well, there's always going to be people that know more than I do. And so I sort of feel unqualified. And he said, as long as you know more than one person, then you know enough to teach somebody, right? So if you rank your skills on a scale of 1 to 10 on a topic, and even if it's a 5, that means you can teach anybody who's a 1 through a 4, right? And really sort of the silly thing about it is that I do know enough about the topic. And certainly in having the site, I've learned even more. But, you know, I knew more than most people. And so for that to be the thing that stopped me was sort of funny. But if I got nothing else out of these life coach sessions, it was, you don't have to know more than everybody. It's just that you have to know more than at least some people, because they become your audience. So, you know, I feel much more confident in that now. But at the time, it was very difficult. So this general travel site that I had created, I once again found it difficult to get traction just because that niche is incredibly busy. And I did get this freelance travel gig as sort of a side thing. So that was nice. I did get exposure to producing content on a regular basis for a company and for a wider audience. So that was good. So that closed down, and that was probably 2009, 2010. And once again, still had this goal of starting the site. So spurred by the fact that my daughter was graduating high school and the fact that I didn't have little kids to take care of and that our bills were much more manageable than they used to be early on. We had lots of debt, including lots of student loans and things like that. So anyway, finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. So in early 2012, we had a family member. People always ask me to help plan their Disney World trips, even way before I had a website. And because I couldn't send these family members to tourguidemike.com to sign up because the website was outdated and I didn't really know where to send them to get started, I decided I need to do it. I need to create something that I would refer people to if they were getting started. And so I designed an infographic. And I'll link to it in the show notes. But it took me 3 weeks to create this infographic. And it's a big, big infographic. And basically, if some people don't know what infographics are, but it's a big graphic. And it has a 6-step planning process for planning Disney World trips. And the whole reason I created it was because I thought this is something I could give someone if they needed help. This is like the basics for planning a trip. And if you've heard other podcasts, it's the same 6-step planning process I've said over and over again. But when I sat down to design the graphic, I actually didn't have that process in place exactly. I sort of had to think through it because I thought, okay, what are the issues I've had? And, you know, one of the issues I've had is I've scheduled dining really far away from where I'm going to be. And so I thought this process has got to help people not do that. But I wanted to keep it simple enough and manageable, you know, et cetera. So the reason it took me 3 weeks is that I really did a lot of thinking about how it should work and what information should be included at every step. And so I created this infographic, and that was for people who were asking me how to plan trips, that I would send that to them. And then I thought, wait, I could use this as part of starting a new website. Like this infographic would probably get a lot of attention, especially on Pinterest, or if it was embedded on a message board somewhere, or, you know, someone's blog, that would probably get a lot of attention. So I spent a few weeks doing that in early 2012. And then on Mother's Day, I posted it on the website that I had designed. Everything on the website's done by me, the designing, writing, everything. So I posted it there after designing the website as well, and then wrote a few blog posts to kind of get the website started, and then started sharing the link to my website on message boards and on Pinterest and, you know, wherever I could share it. So anyway, so finally in May 2012, on Mother's Day, I launched this thing that I had wanted to do for so, so long. And it has been an amazing journey. And in retrospect, it is so crazy that I was so intimidated to get into the niche for a couple of reasons. One, if a niche is busy, that means there are people that are there, there's an audience, right? If you are starting a really kind of obscure topic, a website on an obscure topic, you don't know if there's an audience there. So that's kind of a risk. But if you're in a busy niche, you at least know there's an audience. And number two, this is what I'm passionate about. And no matter what I did, it was going to come through. Like all the hours I spend on creating new content or helping people or whatever, the passion drives that. And that passion was not there on the previous iterations or the previous websites I did because they were topics that were too broad and not things I was really passionate about. So in retrospect, it's really crazy that I had those insecurities, but man, they were there for a long time. And so I guess, you know, if I have a quick tip of the day today, my tip is it's super cliche, but following your passion, I think almost always leads to good things. First of all, you're going to be good at it because it's what you're into. And second of all, it feels like when you follow your passion and do what you're supposed to be doing, that things sort of fall into place the way that they should. It's less of a struggle. It's less drama. It's less kind of angsty to sort of figure out. You know, I've had jobs where they just were not a good fit and every day felt like a struggle. But when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, things just seem to make more sense. And so, you know, if I have a quick tip of the day, it's, you know, kind of inspirational maybe this one time, but that is a lesson I have learned. And I'm sorry it took me so long to learn it, but it's something I can definitely pass on to other people, including my kids. And, you know, as they sort of decide what they want to do for their lives. So anyway, that's the story of sort of how I came to start a Disney World website. It's been an amazing ride. This is going up on Sunday, May 11th. The official anniversary of the website is May 13th because in 2012, Mother's Day was on May 13th. So on this Tuesday, May 13th, I have an anniversary blog post for the website, and it's going to talk about the year in terms of statistics and how much traffic the website gets and the most popular posts and what's coming up for the next year. And then Thursday, I have a huge giveaway prize, and I haven't done a giveaway in a long time. I think giveaways tend to attract people that just want free stuff as opposed to people that are good readers. But for me, this is to have fun with the readers who have been around for a while. And it contains a lot of items. The giveaway pack contains a lot of items that are very specific to the website, and they have items that readers will recognize. So look forward to that coming up later this week. And next week, we'll be back with information and details for planning Disney World trips. There won't be a whole lot of show notes on this episode, but I did mention a couple of different links that I will include. And you can find those at wdwprepschool.com/episode38. That is the number 38. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.